there are kids that are claiming that. Yeah.
All right, I'll give them a couple minutes here. It is 6:30, though.
Oh.
Main order? For the record, I have 6:32. The minutes will show that, as of this moment, all committee members are in attendance, including youth and governance, with the exception of Supervisor Noble. I have not heard anything from him. I trust he'll be here, but time will tell. Citizen comments. Any citizens wishing to address the board? I see primarily staff. I will assume we have no citizen comments without anyone coming forward. Chair, supervisor, and youth and governance comments. Chair, supervisor. So I will defer. I'm going to look through what I've got here for a second. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Just a youth and governance report back. I got the Mayor's Youth Commission Scholarship. Good representation of the Executive Committee.
I'm sure that puts you over the top.
It was really exciting. I had no idea that I was going to get it.
Good
I was
for you.
Shocked.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
But you're leaving at 7:15, you said.
To study, to keep my GPA up, to get more scholarships.
Oh. Can't beat that.
Yeah, she's going to get paid to go to school.
That's it.
Any other comments?
Put in my box.
Seeing none, I have just a couple. I received a memorandum from the WCA Legal Counsel, which references, Frank, I'm not sure if you got a copy of this or not, but it references the Eau Claire County Circuit Court judge decision with respect to WRS contributions of elected officials.
I did not get a copy.
So they've also got a draft county board resolution in here, which in this they're looking to address the county clerk, treasurer, registrar, deed sheriff, clerk of court, surveyor, coroner. Obviously, we don't have all of them. But it has to do with the Act 10 and how that did or did not impact with the retirement contribution, how that comes into play with regard to compensation, making that change midterm. So it goes further to state in here that the decision of Eau Claire County is specific to Eau Claire County. It doesn't carry much weight beyond that. This may be something that this committee will want to take a look at. Linda, I'm going to pass this on to you, and if you'll have Frank and or Bernie take a look at that at some point in time and let me know if we think we need to
I've asked Joel to take a look at that.
Okay.
Sign all the keys. I'll give that to him.
So why don't we pass that on to him?
So that was published?
I thought you said it was a circuit court. Circuit court decision?
Yes. Eau Claire County.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
But wasn't there an opinion from the Attorney General's office? I read something in a journal sentinel on it.
There was an opinion that was provided at our request. It wasn't just our request, I don't believe, but through the Attorney General's office, relative to the impact on county board supervisors, I believe, because at the time we were singled out.
I'm not sure I'm tracking on the one that you're talking about.
Well, that goes back to shortly after I passed, the question was raised about the WRS contribution, and the decision was that it affected county supervisors. We were required to make the contribution, and other electeds were not.
That was an opinion out of our office.
That was just out of your office. Okay.
And that's the one that I asked
Joel
to look at.
Oh, okay. Well, you may want to tie into this one here as well.
Yeah, there was something else that triggered the assignment to him to revisit it. I can't recall what it was off the top of my mind. We may have to go back and revise our opinion.
Okay. The other thing I will report on, last week the Menominee group was in town along with, I don't know if I've got enough of these, so I want to make sure the committee gets one. Supervisor Noble is here as well. I'll make that note also. The Menominee tribe was in town, met with members of the county, myself, county executive, as well as the mayor, to talk and introduce the new development team that's on board with the Menominee tribe, which is KMD Development. The main player in it is Kevin Dwyer, and his partners at Sampson, who drafted the letter that's before you. We had a very good meeting with them. They also then met with a number of groups throughout Kenosha County, some of the labor organizations, et cetera, and then held an open house at the Civil War Museum. I say open house, I don't know if it was invitation only or what it was, but there was a cross-section of representation at the open house. And the group KMD has apparently done a number of projects across the country in terms of casino development. They've done quite a bit with the various tribes as well. It would appear that they have done a significant amount of due diligence over the last 2 years leading up to what appears to be a consummated contract with the Menominee to partner up with them. Clearly, there's an awful lot of information that we're expecting and information we're looking to get from them in terms of who they are, what they've done, and what everything means going forward for Kenosha County. But I will say that what I heard last week, on the surface anyways, I'm probably the most optimistic I've ever been that there is an opportunity for this project to go forward. I don't know where that puts the odds necessarily, but I've always had my reservations about whether or not this thing could, this casino could happen, this overall entertainment development could take place. Encouraging is that the updated feasibility study has changed very little in the phasing of the project, as well as the investment in the project, as well as what they perceive to be the support for the project, both in the financial community to bring funding to it, but more importantly, to the traffic that they anticipate the entertainment, or the all the venues combined will bring to the area.
Mark, have you heard anything regarding, has it passed regional yet?
No, they are. This week, they had some additional information that needed to be submitted to the BIA. They were fully confident that they'd meet the deadline for this week. They have done a significant amount of work with the federal government, BIA, over the last couple of years, some due diligence, as I said earlier, to understand what this project is, what the opportunities are to get the approvals that they're looking for. It's my understanding they have either on their team or consultants or somehow one or two individuals who were part of the Bush administration, were in the BIA under the Bush administration, which has brought a significant amount of insight to, I guess, some of the issues as to what the denials were before that they feel puts them in a very good position to overcome. So we'll see where it goes. Again, I thought it was a positive discussion. It was relatively light on detail at this point, but I made it very clear that going forward, we're going to have a solid understanding of the group they brought on board and what their wherewithal and abilities are to get this done. $1 billion project is, I think, warrants this body, and I'll leave it up to the city if they determine it's important to them or not, but certainly it is to me and I think to this board that we understand who this developer is and what their capabilities are to get it done. That's all I have. Six 40, approval of the February 7th, 2012 Executive Committee meeting minutes. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Eckert and seconded by Michael. Anyone on the issue? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Six, legislative. Report on status of Corp Council's 2011 and 2012 budgets.
Council. So, with
the understanding that, you know, there were those transfers and everything else came from them within budget for 2011. On 2012, these are figures that came up in January. Online spent 8.3%. It's really kind of early in the year. There's really nothing there that jumps out at me that would suggest that there was a potential problem this early in the year. Salaries are haven't posted yet. Legal fees, I think the only legal fees that we have currently out there are with Perkins Coie for casino. Redistricting is done. I think there's some money coming out for Dave's case with the Wisconsin retirement system on the vacation payout. That's still hanging out there. I don't believe there's anything else. I can't get anything to do. I think that's it. I'm not sure.
I know this is a small item, but mileage, I mean, why is it, I mean, is that something we didn't budget high enough for? Because it looks like you almost used up a quarter of your mileage in 1 month.
Is that for seminars and stuff?
Yeah, it was for medicine trips. We should have taken that out of the seminar.
It should have come out of the seminar.
Okay. It's not, I mean, it's a small item, but I was just curious. Second.
Clark, second by Michael. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, motion carries. Discussion and possible action on updated Johnson County contracting policy 644. We have a revised document before us. A couple things I'll just update the committee on before we get into this. Number one, see a bevy of staff here today. All the experts are in the room, so I fully anticipate that we'll be able to get this wrapped up. I've asked Frank to pull up an editable document on the screen so that we can make changes this evening, agree to them this evening, and hopefully walk out of the room with a document that we can bring back, get on the board agenda next week, Tuesday, for the first reading. I believe we are close. I met this week along with the chairman of finance, and I think just about every member of the staff in the room here, and the county executive who had some thoughts and concerns he wanted to make sure we were aware of. We went through a number of issues. I offered some text language to Dave and Jim this afternoon that I believe has come back with some markups on it. Again, I think we're within striking distance. So I'm not sure where to begin with this necessarily. We can start going through the document, maybe, Frank. There's a couple of paragraphs that have some changes to it. I have what I sent out this afternoon to the administration that I can share with the committee. I brought copies if we need to do that. And then Dave and Carol, I think both of you have the document as well that was sent out, so we can get to that as well. Questions before we begin? Frank? The last time that we met, there were three areas in which some additional work needed to be done. Everything else, as I recall, was available to both the administration and this committee. So I'm going to just touch on the areas that were in dispute or that needed some additional research and let you know what happened with that. If you go to that page 2, one of the first things that we were asked to look at was the claims and whether those went to the board or the executive. I have there that this really isn't the place to be discussing claims. This is a
contract policy. Claims are really more appropriately addressed in the proposed policy, which has already been approved by the county board quite some years ago, one of the first policies that we adopted. And it's one of the ones that was on the list that I gave to Supervisor Clark when he asked what needed to be reviewed and looked at. I don't think that there's a lot to do there. We can certainly clear up any questions that are still lingering based upon what was on this in this section last meeting. There's probably just some cleanup language in that policy regarding the names of committees and perhaps dollar amounts that can be authorized by a committee or by our office for settling the claim. Another reason that we took this out of here is it's not just that it doesn't belong here, but also that the resolution of claims are resolved through our carrier women, meaning our self-insured up to the first $200,000 and then after $10 million. Obviously, anything that is not insured, which could be a contract claim or could be anything over $10 million, civil rights claims and that, would wind up having to come to the board. But the other claims that fall within that deductible are all handled through the insurance company, no different than maybe handled by your car insurance or your homeowner's insurance. So if there's any questions on that, I would suggest that you save those for some later date when you are looking at the claims policy itself. Another issue that came up was employee benefits. And when I last sat down with Supervisor Clark, he reminded me that this was one of the bones of contention that led to the drive to have a contract policy. It all had to do with the approval of a dental contract. So I tried to break this down into the different areas that fall within the jurisdiction of the executive or the county board. The county board obviously makes a determination with respect to whether or not you're insured or self-insured, or as is the case with WMIC, insured within the parameters of that policy. You also make some level of decision with respect to the level of reserves as well as the level of coverage. The executive, however, still retains some authority with respect to selecting providers, no different than he would if there was a RFP or a bid for some other project or some other contract. So the contract for the provider or the administrator is his. There's also a stop loss cap that is determined at the end of the year. I know Dave, I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I was asked to provide authority for the fact that the board made the determination with respect to the level of coverage. And by level of coverage, we're talking about co-pays, deductibles, things of that sort. And my authority is listed there as a footnote. It's Wisconsin Statute 59.22. I think that statute clearly fits back with only the appropriation county board. Plus, those are two of the changes.
I want to stay there for 1 second, Frank. Is the committee comfortable or any questions on the issue of claims and the rationale for pulling that out and tying it into our policies of the various carriers and what policies we have in place, Supervisor Clark?
I'm comfortable with that as long as we have the claims policy and, you know, hopefully the next board continues to go down the list of policies and just review them to make sure that they are at least current and applicable.
And also then on the employee benefit contracts, any question there based on the explanation provided? Part of that discussion had to do with
level of coverage. There was some discussion around some discussion around level of coverage, and essentially my position, the position of Supervisor Clark, as it comes back to the budget. You know, we approve within the budget. We approve the health benefit package at that point in time. Under the new Act 10, that changes that playing field a little bit, and I think all involved agree that the way it's currently allocated here in the columns makes sense for both administration and legislative branch.
You're going to leave it, say, just like that, right?
All right, are there any other questions? Go ahead, Frank.
I don't have any other. I have one other section. Linda, you want to pass off that? And that had to do with the change orders and alternates. I don't have a mouse here tonight, so I'm having a
got a couple of kids here who can make it.
I was just going to ask.
Do you want some?
Yeah, anybody want to come down and
break this? I thought you were talking about the one.
Yeah.
I just want to scroll down.
Them
too. Okay.
Just click
that button.
Just don't move your mouse.
It's like my dad.
Did you really say I just want to scroll down?
Yes, you really did.
Linda, what goes on over there?
You just wanted to scroll down, Frank.
I'm getting old because I don't even catch that one. Even I can scroll down. Without a mouse, I might add.
A little arrow key.
Jeez, you know you're still scrolling, right?
Did you pass out the...
It's done.
Okay, let me take the first paragraph.
You're on paragraph 1.11, correct? Are you taking this out of order, Frank, or is there anything ahead of this that is that requires discussion?
No, I think that there was a. I think you had something in an email about 1.08. Would be of the opinion. Our opinion has been consistent throughout the years that, with respect to that, the way that that reads.
You got it. Yeah, it's going around in circles.
Here's your mouse. Don't forget to bring that one back. Don't make sure you give that back to me. This is yours.
This for is your mouse. That's sort of like a cordless.
County Board approval for awarding and entering into contracts may be given by specific or general resolution or applied by budgetary funding. All such approvals are subject to the veto pursuant to the Wisconsin statutes. Mm-hmm. What that was intended to do, and this is one of the reasons for the contract policy, that is to once and for all have one place where we can go and answer this question, be consistent from one board to the next, from one meeting to the next, from one year to the next, and try to answer some of these questions which consistently come up. We have always been of the opinion that once the county board passes a budget, that is authority to contract. There have been some cases on that. I don't have those at my fingertips, but policy maker is the county board, and the county executive or the executive or administrative branch of government is charged with the ensuring that that policy is carried out and carry it out through a contract. Now, sometimes you don't budget for something. Something comes up in the middle of the year, and you can then have a special resolution or general resolution to cover that. And that becomes the authorities for that particular project or grant or whatever it is. But the budget is the primary policy document, you know, for the county board. If you put money in there to provide social services, then it's up to the executive to fulfill that wish of the county board and to do that by way of some type of contractual arrangement, not with employees, what bargaining has been done anymore, but through a contract with a private provider, then that falls within his failure. A lot of this came up when we first went to county executive, and it was big to do about who did negotiations, and we were of the opinion that it was county executive. We were asked to write the AG opinion, and the AG opinion agreed with us.
Right, but we're in agreement, I believe, that the committee is not questioning statute or the authority or the explanation that you just gave. So the language I offered for 108 today wasn't a replacement, if that's what you thought it was. It was a second paragraph, an enhancement to what was there. And my understanding through Mr. Gertz and the conversation we had today, David indicated that at a minimum, your preference would be not to include the second paragraph I offered in 108, but put it elsewhere in the document, if it was going to be contained at all. So I want to make sure we don't lose that. Supervisor Clark.
Okay. And can we, I mean, I guess I want to talk about that. The discussion, and some of the discussion concern is, while we have a budget that gives authority, the finer details of the project may not be known at that time. And I think the administration is in agreement that there may be a difference of opinion in terms of timing of when we look at it, but that before they go out to RFP, that here's the difference, but that the oversight committee on contracts that are in excess of $250,000, I thought that's what we agreed to, that the oversight committee gets a report on the RFP in committee where they have an opportunity to focus on the scope of the project and give the administration their input before they go to RFP or before they go out to bid. Now, there's certainly some difference of opinion in the administration, whether it holds them back, and Mr. Arby can talk about that. They'd like to just have us get the RFP prior to going to contract. As I told Chairman Molinaro, my concern is if we have a project that's $250,000 or greater, it's significant, that we have planning, that there's time to do this. I don't want to get an RFP 20 days before we go to contract, and then if we have a disagreement as to scope, that our backs are against the wall and we're hearing, well, we're going to lose money, we're saving this, and I've heard that, not here, but we have heard it in years past. So that's number one. So we're talking, the number one, what we talked about is RFPs, and being able to look at that RFP, the ad alternates, so we as the county board understand what the scope of the project is that we're going out to the public for. And then I guess I'll just stop there at that point. That's what Chairman Molinaro, I believe, was referring to.
If you will pass those down, the red highlighted or bracketed text is what I suggested we do under paragraph 108, which would be a second paragraph. Essentially, what I'm in agreement with Supervisor Clark, and we're saying the same thing. I'm not looking for everything to go through committee and the county board and be moved and approved. I'm simply looking for the reporting. I've been on the Building and Grounds Committee where we have seen the complete bid tab for projects. Every contractor, what their bid was, every alternate, and we've gone through it at committee. And then we've executed projects that we've seen nothing on. So I'm looking for some consistency. I'm not suggesting we have to have all of the detail and know every bid, but certainly what I'm asking for is ahead of the release for RFP and or a construction bid that the committee be, that it be reported to the committee. We know at budget time it was approved. We know the administration has taken the directive to be commence planning for the project. When you're ready to go out for RFP, report it to the committee. We recognize at that point in time that you're going to solicit bids, and you're going to be prepared to award contracts after that, whether it be for an RFP or for a construction project. Once both are received and you're prepared to go to contract, a report to the committee. That's all I'm asking for. So I'm not looking for a committee ratification at that point in time, but it will allow committee members and the county board as a whole to be aware, to be more informed, for everything to be more transparent, for us to be have the ability to share the information with our constituents. This is an example that doesn't necessarily go to the policy, but focuses on myself, so I'm not singling anybody out. It clearly was my miss, one could argue, and argue strongly. I had no idea the Corporation Council was moving into the basement of the courthouse until it was nearly done. I was under the impression from day one, and I wasn't the only one, that Corp Council was going into the new building. Now, understanding that I wasn't on the committee any longer, wasn't part of those discussions, it's understandable why I missed it. But that's the type of thing that I don't want to have happen. When a project goes out to bid, a simple report to the committee with the scope of what it is ahead of time, and ultimately the scope or who you intend to award it to, I think is a simple report to make. So that's what this paragraph does. If I read the paragraph, Frank, and it's in, I don't know if you have a copy of it here, I'm not replacing 108. I'm adding a second paragraph that would simply read as it is here. All requests for proposals, RFP, and statutory defined public works construction projects with a contemplated construction value, contractual value of $250,000 or more, are required to be reported to the appropriate oversight committee. The issue is to be placed on the committee agenda prior to solicitation of bids for the RFP or construction project, and again, prior to the award of said contract to the successful bidder. Now, I understand based on paragraph 111 modification that Dave sent to me that we want to carve out highway projects. I'm comfortable with that. And we want to carve out human services. I'm comfortable with that. We have an awful lot of contractual work that we do in the human services department. We don't need all of them to come back to us. Most of them are bundled into a much larger RFP. We have certain supervisors who don't want to tackle behemoth jobs like that, if I can quote them. And far be it from me to want to pile on. You know, personally, put it all out there. But I understand why we wouldn't do it. So I'm comfortable carving that out. But at the same time, and set a limit. If $250,000 isn't the limit we want, it should be projects that have a higher value than that. I'm open to that discussion. But there isn't any fundamental argument that can be made for me that you simply can't make that reporting happen within the confines of our structure. Committee, Supervisor Elmer.
Mr. Chairman, the initial discussion on all this stemmed from a lot of my concerns over contracts, and your paragraph here covers most of those concerns.
Right.
I understand where the pushback's coming from. And I don't think the pushback is necessary for the administration to have a big concern with the county board meddling. We're not here to meddle. We're definitely here to represent. And I mean that covers and it also gives a some comfort at the committee level. If we see these things, it's not going to be a huge document. It's going to be something that's in the budget. My biggest concern was on alternates and change orders. And I guess the main concern was an alternate that was only $8,000. But it was something that I'm sure the committee wouldn't have approved. But the committee was never aware of that alternate. So I think this covers my concerns. And then when we get into 111, we're going to have to make a couple other changes, whether you want to take this, you know, one item at a time.
I'd like to address this issue whether it's in 108 or not, I'd like to come to some agreement or resolution on whether or not my proposal that there's this reporting and two steps for, and we all understand, I hope, the difference between an RFP. Typically an RFP, you're purchasing professional services. Construction project, you're buying, you know, some consulting or professional, and then construction obviously is physical construction. Anyone else on that specific issue? Supervisor Clark.
I just, certainly the administration may have some concerns, so I would like to hear from anybody on the administration relative to that wording.
And I will do that.
Okay.
Supervisor Noble.
I'll wait to see what the administration has to say.
Dave, Carol, Ray, who wants to tackle that? Or all of you, I'm not asking you.
On the 108 thing, Mr. Chairman, that you submitted by the email today at 10:06, you mentioned that you would be amenable to exempting highway and human services, but I have to tell you, when I read this, I thought the word "and" was a typo. It reads "all requests for a proposal and statutorily defined public works." I thought that word "and" was intended to be the word "for."
No.
So you're intending that all RFPs prior to issuing them must be reviewed by the committee, other than those exempted for human services and highway.
Reported to the committee. If it results in a review, it results in a review. But you know, certainly that time and change factor. And I guess what I'm getting at is, if we're going out to buy a $750,000 A&E contract or A&E RFP to do the emergency services center, the committee ought to be made aware of the RFP.
Then on that one, I'd ask the purchasing director, chairman, is okay to talk about the practicality. Yeah. If that's okay.
Absolutely.
I'm concerned then that we'll have to re-advertise it and then come back possibly before another board meeting to approve any changes that you may have requested at the previous meeting?
No. Certainly anything is possible. I'm asking, and let's look at the administration committee as an example. I've been on that committee. I've been to committee meetings. Administration committee meetings where they will report on the contracts that are coming due, right? So we know at budget time what contracts are coming up in that year, and the administration committee will get a report that states we've exchanged initial offers with this particular labor group. We have to do the same in 2 months with this particular labor group, and we have this one that's going to arbitration or whatever the case might be. If there's a few questions that are specific to one or the other, they're addressed and we move on. I'm looking for a similar scenario here. I don't anticipate that there will be amendments made. First of all, if you bring it to the committee when you've already published it, then I think you brought it to the committee too late, and you should plan accordingly. And I don't believe it is asking to change your sequencing much at all. I'm asking that it be reported to the committee. Not even necessarily that you have to have a copy of the document, although if it's requested or someone wants to follow up on it, again, these are all budgeted items. So I'm not looking for the report to be put on the agenda, discussed, modified, where you've got to put out addendums and republish. That isn't my intention, and I don't know that's the intention of the committee. But certainly a report that states these are the RFPs that are going out. Here's the timeline, here's what they're for, here's the scope. Would be a relatively modest report to make, I would expect.
So there would be no, when you say then that you want to provide your input in it, then you don't anticipate that there would be any changes that we would have to come back to the board for approval on before we let the RFP or bid?
You might find that there are a few good, well-received thoughts. But no, I'm not asking that it come to the committee for a motion, a second, and a vote. I'm asking it to be brought to the committee as a report. Every committee gets reports every meeting.
It's an opportunity to receive input. And, ultimately, the administration can take that or leave it. If there's something that is major, maybe there's a resolution or something, but it really comes down to the point of having input and talking about scoping of the project. If there's something going on or someone may have questions, there's reporting on it so everybody understands what's going on. And we go to RFP, we got the ad alternates. We know what they are, so we essentially know what the scope of the project is, what's going on a major project. And I don't know how many contracts that fall under this criteria that have an intended contract amount over $250,000 that we do in a year. I don't know how many this applies. Is it 5? Is it 10?
It varies from year to year.
What, you have a number?
It could be 10 to 15 probably if you're excluding human services. Human services has the largest majority of contracts of that scope.
Should anything else be excluded that you don't think it's necessary for?
I'm not sure that I feel it's necessary to do these to begin with, but my main concern was the fact that if we would have to be bringing it back multiple times for review of changes.
My intent, the overarching factor on these construction contracts, we'll use construction contracts, that we understand the scope, the ad alternates, all of those things are defined. We go out and we get this bid project back, and maybe we come in and it was substantially underneath what we thought it was going to be, and the scope of the project remains the same. We're not spending those savings without coming back to the county board, even though we have budget authority, because then we're going to fall underneath the change order rules. That's the concern. And at the end of the day, one other change here that I've mentioned to Dave is that when the project's all said and done, that we have a reporting mechanism back to the committee to say, okay, here's the original contract, here's the ad alternates, here's the change orders, when it's done. Kind of the recap of the project. So there's those change orders that fall underneath the threshold, there's at least the light of day. They've seen the light of day of the oversight from the county board.
The change orders wouldn't be brought in initially.
Not at all. No. RFP. We have the RFP process. We've set a threshold that we need to look at them, and we've identified what they are. We understand as a legislative body what the scope is. If something goes on in the contract and we get to 111 that we're talking about change orders, we've addressed we're going to address materiality, what needs to come back or not. But at the end of the day, when the project's all done, just the report that says, here's the project. Boom. Here they are, and this is the project, here were the change orders, we're done.
Doug?
I was gonna just say that in what I'm reading in 108, what's written here doesn't actually use the word input like it does in 111. To me, it's a report. It comes down to transparency. And I think that we all owe it to our constituents that, I think they want transparency. So I'm in favor of including this, and I don't see the word input in here at all. It's just a matter of issuing a report.
And if that puts your mind at ease, that is at a minimum what I'm looking for, a report. Now, if there is heartburn by a particular committee member and they want to get into some discussion, I trust, as we do with everything else, there'll be open communication there. If there's reason for them to follow up, they can follow up. I'm looking, and it specifically says report. So that's what I'm looking for at this point. Ray, let me go to Dave first.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Supervisor Clark touched on one of my points, which is there anything else you should be exempted? Because one of the things I was concerned about when I was thinking about our purchasing division is workload. So I'm hearing some members of the committee talking about exempting highway, also exempting human services. And I'd like Carol to give thought to should anything else be exempted. And then also I'd like Carol to talk about workload. I mean, if this number's at a quarter million, we're talking about bringing 10 or 20 or 30, I don't know how many of these in to a committee during the year. How would that impact the workload of our small purchasing division that we try to handle in such a lean way?
We have been delegating some of the bigger RFPs to other departments. IT has done some of their own RFPs, but it would definitely impact us in that we would be writing more reports and we'd be coming to more meetings. There would be some element of more computer time. I'm not sure about my staff time. I have one union person that we'd be paying her overtime if she had to come to a meeting to report, but otherwise it would be myself or the other non-union person.
So, but Dave, I trust you have within your department a log, for lack of a better way to put it, of all of the.
I
trust within your department you have a log, for lack of a better word, that tracks the various contracts you are out to bid for.
Yes.
And due dates, scheduling, whatever the case might be.
Right.
So, is that a open the file, hit the print screen, and there's my report? Do I need much more than that? A little bit of scope behind each one? I can't imagine we're talking about paying anybody overtime for this. I want, if we just all take a deep breath for a moment and say, this need be only as complicated as we want to make it. I'm not looking to complicate it. I'm simply looking to be better informed. You're telling me we have hundreds of contracts that go out to bid throughout the year. Am I right?
Right. Yeah, with the majority of the RFPs being with human services,
more comfortable. Smoking
sentences right. That would cut out a significant.
I just want to know about the 10 or 20 you referred. So, again, this doesn't need to be very complicated.
Yes.
Right.
To your point, in my mind, what you're asking for in terms of a report that defines the scope of the project, the base bid, and the alternates, and those types that are part of the bid package that goes out. I try to share that now. If it's something that's complicated, it's something real basic that it's not worth, I mean, it's smaller, not complicated, I'm not going to get into it. We then provide monthly updates to the committees, whether when Doug was chairman of Building and Grounds, and then Bill was chairman of Building and Grounds, and now Dennis is chairman of Public Works. We do monthly updates on those things. So what I see this is more of a formalization of that, which I don't have a problem with. If we can provide that information as far as what's in the base bid and the ad alternates, that should be fine. The timing of it I'll come back to, okay, but that information I think is fine. I think it's fine that we should be providing, and thought of it, but we should provide you guys with the bid tabulation thing after the bids have gone out, so the whole thing is there.
These are all not documents that you've already prepared in some way.
Right.
So
exactly, it all exists. So it's not a big. Those things to me are not a big deal at all. The thing that, from a timing standpoint, I'm a little concerned about. And it doesn't. Not all projects, because some projects we're doing remodeling projects. They're not weather sensitive. They're not time sensitive in terms of. There's no need for somebody to be in a spot in a certain time or whatever. Those kinds of things we have time to plan for, no problem. But there are certain projects that we do that are either weather sensitive or time sensitive that if you look at, I'll just use an example of irrigation projects. Because each year we're going to do a little bit more on the irrigation project. Typically what happens is the project isn't, until it's approved, which really is just before Thanksgiving, realistically, we don't have the money. And the way we've got things packaged, typically, because those aren't huge projects, they're kind of little modules that we're doing as we pick away at the irrigation system. So we don't have a large amount of money that we spend on engineering or design stuff in the year prior. So we bundle them. Now, those projects are bundled. The engineering design and the actual construction money is all in one package. It gets approved right before, by the board, right before Thanksgiving. We can't spend any money. We still engage.
I just may have a solution to your problem, briefly. Is when you get, if you get to those projects, something that you have time is of the essence, we'll say, I'm comfortable with leaving that between the administration and the committee chairman to determine that, listen, this is time of the essence. The committee chairman says, go ahead, you can report back to us after the fact.
And that would be fine, because it's not every project. There's only a few. The courthouse was like that only because we had a very small window that we had to get work accomplished, and by the time the money actually was approved in the budget process, and then to scramble to get the bids out.
There's going to be some issues where the reporting is going to be simultaneous to release or award or just after. I recognize that. Again.
And we can still inform the committee. And even if there was an add alternate or a delete alternate that's defined, you know, while it's out to bid, we can still pull that. If the committee has a thought like that, you know, in this case, in Brookside, what Dennis was talking about was the brick situation. We actually did, because that kind of, what got forward up there was that was kind of midstream. That project started, the actual bids and stuff were prepared when it was still the Building and Grounds Committee, and then it got handed off to Public Works. So all that stuff was already in motion by the time it got to Public Works. We started that project, the actual physical execution of the project, in like late July. But we started the bid process for that, I believe, in May or April. I mean, it was early on in the process. So that kind of got boogered up that the Public Works Committee, all the members on it, didn't know about that. The guys that were from Building and Grounds did know, but that's just kind of one of those fluke things. We generally try to make people aware of what's in that project so that these misunderstandings don't happen. So right. There is that transparency so that like, why I brought the Gulf, the most recent Gulf irrigation piece that we did, because we're very strategic now. We're very strategic in how we define add alternates or delete alternates. And it's a pretty slick document. And you can look at it. There's a base bid that has all the base stuff that's in there. And there's delete items defined, again, to give us kind of maximum flexibility if bids come in too high, that we can still execute core pieces of the project. By the same token, if bids come in low, we're actually able to accomplish more. The goal, the nirvana this year, was to try to get all the white course done, all the irrigation. We're not going to get it all. But based on where the bids came in, we're getting pretty close. We haven't awarded that contract yet because we're still digging through some of the, what do you call, due diligence as far
vendor
as bonding and vendor responsibility stuff. But right now, it looks like we're going to be able to get pretty darn close to where we wanted, where we had hoped to go with it. So I guess I wanted to make sure that the committee's aware that there's a strategic thought process that goes into defining these things. It's not, again, I don't know what happened in the past or what people are familiar with, but I mean, people are familiar with, like, in their house, and what you define as an add alternate was, well, if I put this out this way, I'm going to go with the American Standard fixtures, but if I got money left, if the bids come in, I'm going to upgrade to the upper Kohler fixtures. That's not at all what anything, we don't do anything like that with our add alternates or delete alternates. They're all functionally focused. On the safety building, the two add alternates, they're two big add alternates. One was the HVAC for the existing building, if we were got a grant for that project. We defined it as an add potential add alternate in the original bid package, but we didn't know if we were going to get the grant or not. Once we got the grant, we then pulled the trigger on that add alternate because it was grant funded to retrofit the old part of the building, not completely, but we got about two-thirds of it retrofitted with new high-efficiency stuff that we're seeing a payback for already. The other big add alternate there was...
Well,
That's fine. I don't want to cut you off, Ray, but I guess I want to cut you off.
Nice.
In your case, I think we're looking to codify to some extent what it is you're telling us you're doing already and what I have seen in the past, and make sure that we have a documented process in place to continue that. And then, in Carol, in your case, I'm saying I just need to do what Ray's doing. I know you have the information, so I'm not asking for anything else to be created. I'm not looking for much more than a report that will give the opportunity, if there is a concern or an issue from a member of the legislative body, to bring it up and bring it forward. And if we can accomplish that, again, in a codified manner within this policy, I think we've accomplished what we're trying to do. Carol.
In one of the, I don't know if it's in the exact wording in here now in the new policy, but in the previous versions, there definitely was reference to you providing your input into it. Which
agreed.
Is what I was concerned mostly correct. About was that we would be making changes at the last minute that would cause us to have to stop the project while we went over it a couple of times and had to come back for meetings. I have no problem with bringing anything forward that you want to see and provide you with the copies. I just wanted to also mention, though, that you, all of our RFPs and all of our bids that the Purchasing Division does goes out on our website. So any of you can have access to that at any time, and you can go out there and get copies of those documents, and any of the final bid tabulations or reports that we have out there are all available sure. on the website.
Okay. Mr. Rizzo.
You know, I'm going to go back to your paragraph here on 108. I mean, as I read that, it does not require any extra work for the purchasing department because of what Ray has, you know, just spoken on. As we have defined things now with the Facilities and Public Works Committee, we have our reporting from the Administrator Ray works very well. He would do this anyway, so it would be nothing from purchasing that would come to the committee that doesn't come right now from Ray. But I do believe that we need this language so that we're sure of that. You know, so that the chairman of the committee and the members of the committee can ensure a good relationship and that everything is coming forward. Ray and I have that now. Maybe not every committee does. And many of the major projects, except for these human service contracts, come through public work and facilities, you know, all our building projects. So.
Well, and we made it clear, and I think if it needs to be stated again, this isn't an indictment or a statement toward the current administration or staff. Certainly, Carol, what you have accomplished in streamlining, organizing, clarifying the process, purchasing process, is immeasurable. And all we're looking to do right now, I think, is what we're talking about here around the table. And this, again, this has to be something that transcends the current administration, transcends the current legislative body, and is in place. So, as we know with all contracts, they're not there when things are going well. They're there for when they don't, and that's really all we're looking for. Supervisor Clark.
You just made my point that this is not on the current administration. Some of us have been here through previous administrations. I think you guys do an excellent job, but having this document requires certain things to happen in reporting to the oversight, the legislative body.
Doug.
A good example of that is this claims policy. This has been around since 1986, so you know it's been through many different administrations and so on, and it's, you know, and I trust that this policy here will be around for 25, 30 years too. It's, you know, it's just not about the administration. It's about having some type of a policy to follow.
Dave. And then Rachel.
Now that I understand the breadth of this the intent of this language was much more substantial than I initially thought, because I actually thought that the word and was meant to be the word for. I have a little more comfort that you're exempting the highway and that you're exempting the human services. At a minimum, I'd like the $250,000 to be indexed to inflation. So if the committee would consider that, I would like that to get on the table and have it be indexed to inflation. I'd like to give Carol a chance sometime after the meeting to go back and look at what the real impact of this would be. Because when we talk about workload, I don't want to be dismissive about the workload. There is a workload because it impacts the planning, it impacts the PERC chart. You have to pull that in. That takes time. The other thing that we've been getting away from in the administration is having, when it's just a matter of reporting, we stop the bottleneck process. And I know you're not ready for this yet, but I'd like to get it on tape for prosperity, because in order to act in a leaner fashion, if it's a matter of recording, we now have good technology that we can do that on, and we're actually doing that administratively. We're using things like SharePoint, and we're putting anything that needs reporting out there so anybody can look at that anytime, either before or after a bid gets put out. So it sounds like from your discussion that you still want to have this process that flows through a committee simply for reporting, but I'd like to get it on tape for prosperity to consider as in the future when you look at revisiting this, that if it's a matter of reporting, we have technology that we can use. You can look at this stuff way before anything goes out, and we can have technology that does that, and we don't have to bottleneck a process and put it into a PERC chart that causes an extra month of delay for issuance of an RFP. So I'd like to just have that considered. But at a minimum, I'd like that $250,000 to be indexed to inflation.
So where are we going to put this wording? Let's get this wording out there and finish crafting it.
Right. Just a couple of points. I think the big issue here that you've talked about tonight is accountability and transparency. I made a couple of notes, and I just want to put this out. When you develop that budget, and then you turn it over to the executive, part of his function is to do the RFP. Now, if you wanted to talk about the scope of the project and whether something is material or not, it would seem to me that that's something that would be done at budget time. You don't want the administration defining the scope of the project. That's something that you want to do. You want to do it early on, and you want to do it at budget time. So it gives some direction to people who are preparing the RFP and bids as to just exactly what you want, what you expect. We have consistently given opinions in the office that this is part of the executive function. If you want input, input to me is different than reporting. Input means you can change. I see hundreds of contracts come through my office every year, especially around January time. And if you want to have transparency, you ought to have transparency across the board, not just on public works. You should have transparency on social services and every place else. Now, she talked about putting this on the web. If you have it there, you can see it there. And if you have a concern, you can certainly bring it up before that. That's your chance to see what's going on. It's transparent for the entire community. And it's out there at the same time for everybody. I just did an RFP. I was involved with an RFP. If it had been brought to a committee and it had been discussed, there are a lot of things in that RFP that you don't want out in the public until everybody gets it at the same time. Otherwise, somebody's got a leg up. And that's not fair to others. So that's another thing that you ought to consider. What would you change? If it came to you not for reporting, which can be done after the RFP is out, which can be done by simply going to a website and looking at what's on there,
what would you change? Would you add an alternate? Would you delete an alternate? What input are you looking at doing? Because most of the stuff on the RFP is just boilerplate. We have the right to reject any and all bids. The bid is due on such and such a date. So you get into this issue of, you know, not just what whether you're talking about a material or a change or whether something is within the scope of what you intended, but are you micromanaging to the point where something's just not going to be able to get done?
Well, I think we've made it clear that, and quite honestly, I think you're missing all the points here.
Wouldn't be the first
time. I've been there myself. I don't want anyone to tell me anymore this evening that all this stuff is on the web. I don't care. I really don't care. I know if I want to go find it and read the whole document, I can do it. I want it reported to the committee. It's simple. If I then need to go look at the specifics of it, I'll go to the website and look at it. That's not what I'm asking for. It's very different. And each. So what happens if all seven committee members go and take a look at it on the website? Does it then get agended for discussion? If one of the seven or all of the seven have questions or thoughts? No, that's I don't need that answered. The answer to that is no. I want it reported at the committee. If we want to take a look at it individually or collectively on the website, I know it's there. That's not what I'm asking for right now. Unless you missed the conversation here, nobody's talking about bringing these RFPs and going through a paragraph by paragraph and receiving input.
No, you're talking about input.
No, it's a report.
The issue alone says report.
Okay, so what difference does it make if the report is made before or after the RFP?
Because I want to know, as an elected official, what the county is putting out to bid, what's going out the door, and whether or not it is generally in compliance with the budget that I approve, anywhere from 1 to 11 months ago. We do it, generally speaking, it's being done now for the most part. Again, if we need to set thresholds and carve something out, we'll carve it out. If there's a confidentiality issue with it, we'll make that statement and we'll do it in closed session if we have to. Transparency on all, you're preaching to the choir. When we eliminated approving bills over $5,000 on the county board floor, I was opposed to that. Bring them all forward. Human services and everything. I'm happy to sit through the discussion. Because that is what transparency is all about. So if you want that motion, I'll make that motion. I think we're talking about a middle ground that certainly leans toward the administration having the authority that you are indicating accurately that they have. All we're asking for is an input. I don't care if...
you said no, you're not asking for
that. A reporting. That's all I'm looking for.
And again, one point. A report is one thing, but to what end? Either you're going to have the opportunity to have the input based upon the report and the ability to come in and change. What else? Why have it ahead of time?
Here's why. Before we go to bid, I want to know what the scope of the project is. So if the scope is going to change or not change, because I want some accountability to that scope and that bid. So if it comes in under, it's not going to change. That was the overriding factor that I brought up relative to this construction. If we have $5 million on that, we thought it was going to be budgeted for $5 million and it came in at $4 million. If something's not on the ad alternate, we say, hey, we can do this or that. It's not an ad alternate anymore. It's a change order.
Wouldn't it be easier to just have a general policy that says that if you come in under bid, that you then you report back to the board?
You know, that kind of reminds me of the Gulf thing where they're going to run all the piping, and then one guy said, "Why don't you just put two wells in? You'll save a lot more money." I don't know, but this is the road that we're down.
I sat on the committee, chair of the committee at the time, that said this project is dead. A motion, a second, and a vote by the committee not to spend any more money on the 45 and 50 Emergency Management Center. It finally stopped after an additional $250,000 was spent and wasted architectural fees. I happen to support wasting architectural fees. Not tonight. That's why I want it reported. And I don't want to have to be, I shouldn't be dependent upon to go and look on the website. I want to know what's out there. Once a month is all we're asking. I'm not even asking Carol necessarily or Ray to come to the meeting. Put it in the packet.
Put it on the web.
You could, but then we'll have trouble.
Make sure you got your mouse.
We're upgrading your word perfect.
Yeah, we're upgrading. Anyone else? Ray.
Yeah, again, I just, on the
time. Next.
Go ahead. On the bid package itself, with the add or delete alternates, like I say, if we can have, my only concern with that, the way it's written, is that timing of, there are certain projects, like I say, the bulk of them are not as time sensitive, but there will be some that are very time sensitive. And as long as we have the language or something allows for the communication to occur, like you said, and we can talk with the chairman and it just explain the situation and say, hey, we really want to get this going. We'll provide a report to the committee. It may be out for bids already in January, but that we can that's a safety valve to cover. Because there are projects that will significantly affect. Courthouse was one of them, because we wanted to be started with that February 1st. They wanted to start taking stuff apart while the weather was crappy so they could have it apart, start putting it back together when the weather was good. And we really scrambled. I've got the actual calendar and how it ran from the time the money was approved and what took place between Thanksgiving and January 1st and just after January 1st. And we barely made it, but the bottom line is it worked out. We were able to hit our date. Golf course work is sensitive to that kind of stuff as well. Because there's stuff we'd like to get done in
and
really April, May.
The exceptions that I trust you'll be able to keep.
So as long as we can do that, on those, then the basic language, and I don't know because I've seen so many different alternative languages. Is it the one that's up on the screen right now?
Well, there's three here right now.
Okay, so which one, yeah, maybe.
Let's just get this dropped in here. I move that we add Chairman Molinaro's proposal with the $250,000 that we put a bracket in there, adjusted for the consumer price index for the January 1, 2012 consumer price index, and that somewhere where we add on in the if time is of the essence, that the committee chairman be notified and be able to discern whether it goes, whether the requirement to come to the committee prior is waived.
Fair? Second.
Is this, can I just ask a question? Is this what you're adding to 1.11?
1.08.
They're adding a second paragraph.
This paragraph.
And that this excludes highway projects and human service, highway, whatever, public works projects and human service contracts.
Highway project. Or
social services.
Human services.
Human services. Second.
Moved by Clark, seconded by Michael. And I will, I guess, hold on the vote here until we get this put up clearly. Or?
Good luck.
Can you type that for me?
I was gonna say,
we have a typist here.
I could type it in there.
Go for it.
Don't email it.
Go ahead. She'll type it for you, Frank. We have a.
She'll type it in there
for you. That's what I'd like. I'd like someone to email it. You gotta have a new use and governance thing for the
Corporation Council. Intern.
She has to get a plaque and a commendation for
the. Should be just happy with one more letter of recommendation.
That's there you right. go.
I will Another be scholar. Very happy.
Some type of grant.
Yeah.
We got time to pause and have some. Anyone need a soda or anything?
Yeah. Get a water.
Water.
So
water. That's later. Water.
Well, I know you're ahead.
That was Frank looking for beer, right?
Ward and stuff when I voted.
Oh, thanks.
I was first.
Thanks.
What we'll do is allow Ms. Randy to type this in, you can maybe move on to 111 and come back to this vote on 108. So if we move on to 111, before you, the document that I'm holding up that Dave passed out, the language is language that I offered. If you look at the email I sent out, paragraph 111 was language that I provided. Dave, what you have before you is his modification to my language. Which is all specific to change orders and alternates.
Can I ask a question that isn't quite as deep as all that first?
Sure.
I noticed from the one that we were handed out from our last meeting to this one, they added the word "or his designee," and we've not really talked about that in the third sentence. It says,
which page are you on, Doug?
1.11. The one that we had that we were talking about last week, it did not have the word in. It says, a request for proposal and which is within budget may be authorized by the county executive or his designee and awarded per the terms of the bid document. That "or designee" wasn't in, just magically appeared.
I believe I have seen that phrase before. Carol, if you want to address that.
Well, in instances where the county executive isn't here or where he has delegated the authority to sign to others, such as myself,
examples.
Then I would be the designee or whomever.
Examples of that?
It's usually smaller end contracts or contracts that I would already have authority under the purchasing record.
No water. Well, I'm just saying, on the one that we were given a month ago, it didn't say "and." Didn't say "or his designee." So that is a common occurrence?
Yeah.
It is. Okay.
Supervisor Elder.
It's been in all the documents I've had. If you go on page 7 in 109, it says the county executive may designate a department or division head to execute contracts. And
which one is it?
I've seen the word "designee" used in this document also. Page 7.
Where is that on page 7?
109.
Yeah. Departmental head. Are you?
He has weird settings on his laptop.
And it's other areas in this document, too. I know I've seen it.
Yeah, they designated departmental and divisional head.
Just get the word counter. Okay. All right, it just wasn't in 1.11 before, apparently. Okay. All right, I see it in 109.
Yeah.
All right, I just wanted to get that cleared up before you get into the heavy stuff.
Okay. Dennis, you have something?
Yeah, there's a... I lost it. There's some language that says, immediately reported to the county board chairman of the finance committee. Okay, so that's not it. There's a spot where "or," I might have to go back.
It's the second, last paragraph, or last sentence on the first paragraph.
Okay.
Shall be reported to the county board finance or oversight committee for purposes of input.
I think it should be "and" oversight committee.
I had it as "and," I'm pretty sure.
That's one item, because the finance committee may not be up to speed on
appropriate county board oversight committee and county board finance administration committee.
Yep.
And in this case, I said input. Recognizing, of course, that I'm
1.11.
Typing this out as quickly as I can. I'm comfortable with the reporting. I don't necessarily know that it has to be input. If input is required, I'm sure it'll get to that point.
They said oversight committee here.
They changed it to totally comfortable with
or the
report.
County board finance.
I think that's been our main focus here, and Chairman of Finance has made that very clear, and so have you, that reported is been our main focus on all this language.
So where we see the word "input," we're going to put...
you're going to say county board and, instead of "or," oversight committee, period.
Okay, sure.
purpose of input is struck.
And all I have to do is put the RFP in a packet. Sorry.
Yeah, the amendments.
She doesn't have the amendment, though.
But Joe.
That's what she did.
But the amendments are, this is the original one that Chairman had.
Yeah, that's the email.
And Frank might want to put the amendment.
So we're going to put, after the 250 in brackets, we're going to index to CPI.
Okay, are you looking at what she just typed in?
Yes.
Yep.
So all requests for proposals.
Right where you were at. Right where where it was.
It was after the 250.
Do you want to go all requests for proposal RFP excluding? Do we want to exclude now? Put the exclusion right there?
$250,000. What did you say, Joe?
Frank, hold on. Go to the end of the first paragraph after the word projects.
The end of the first
paragraph? First sentence, second paragraph, after the word projects.
Public works projects.
First line. Yeah.
Oh, first line, okay, right there, yeah. Yep.
Comma.
Yeah.
Excluding.
Yeah.
Human service.
Human service contracts.
Human service and highway.
Human service and highway. And highway?
And highway contracts. Comma.
Yeah.
With the contemplated contractual value of $250,000.
And then you can put in brackets indexed indexed
CPI
to this 2000
2012 January 1 2012
indexed to the
January 1 2012 CPI
January 1 2012 CPI is that
you can put all city CPI or whatever that is.
I'm sorry, what
is it, all city CPI, is that
just
we'll just leave CPI. Okay.
CPI dash U?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Urban areas.
Okay.
I'll never support that.
I require to be reported to the appropriate oversight committee. Nice. The issue is to be placed on the committee agenda prior to solicitation of bids for the RFP or construction project, and again prior to award.
And then you
subcontract to the successful bidder, even though the corporation counsel for you there.
Prior to solicitation of bids, comma, bids for RFP. Somehow I want to put unless waived by the committee chairman.
Time is of the essence language.
Oh, well, you can put exactly. Where do you want to add it at the end? Just do it there. Unless unless waived by committee chairman due to time constraints or something like that.
We've got that in 111.
Right.
Right. But
this is different.
This is on the the RFP.
RFPs. We're just reporting.
Due to time constraints, is that what you want?
Yeah.
Change orders, we're going to have input.
Comma there?
Yeah.
Comma,
yeah.
Okay.
Due to the solicitation, you should put that, I don't know where that upbids for RFP, but we get the, you can clean that up a little bit, right? Or does that make sense the way it's written?
What's that?
Which one?
All requests.
So I'm making sausage.
You run that ship too?
Nice.
Okay, so we're on. Does that make sense the way it reads now?
That was good, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Joe, tell them that quote. If you haven't heard it,
I just heard it. I don't know what.
And I'm trying to remember who it was. It was an old lawmaker said, laws are like sausage. It's best not to see them being made.
Yeah. I was telling my daughter about hot dogs. She doesn't like hot dogs. She said, what goes into a hot dog?
You don't want to know?
The issue is replacing the committee agenda for resuscitation unless my recommendation of bids for the RFP project.
Yeah, that should get moved in front of that. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
The prior solicitation was waived by the committee chairman. And again, prior to the awards of said contract to the successful bidder.
There you go.
Save that.
Yeah.
Any heartburn.
Save.
Save. Some heartburn, but not over there.
Carol, you okay over there?
Oh, there's a man rush. People are in line
trying to read it from here.
You think so?
Go over there.
Here.
I think it's easier to read it on screen.
Go ahead.
Polls are closing in 4 minutes, Bill.
Are you winning yet?
Well, that was mean.
Stress will change the mood.
We're this will be the this is 20 minutes.
Absolutely not. Last opportunity, Carol and anyone else to comment on the 250 threshold.
Carol, would you like that higher than the 250?
What's the argument?
I would have said 5 million.
What's the argument?
Do you want to give an argument for it?
No, I wanted to make a comment just on the where we have to go back. After we take the bid document to you, then again we come back prior to the award of the bids.
After it's been awarded.
So we can't issue a purchase order or a contract to the contractor until we have provided that report to you.
No.
Ideally, no.
I'd say that.
If, again, timing is such that you have to, then we've got, you have the ability within the scenario to do it.
So why have and again prior to awards? What's the thought process there?
Because, from my standpoint, there are two issues at hand here. One is, what is the scope of what you're doing, which is either an RFP or a construction project. And then this is where bids came in. This is who bid on it, and this is who appears to be the successful qualified bidder whom we're going to award the contract to.
Yeah, but what if you don't want it to go to that bidder?
Could be.
See, I think you're crossing the bounds.
How does it change now, Frank? If I don't want it to go to a certain bidder, just to use your argument, right? If I don't want it to go to a specific bidder now, the only way I know that I do or do not is if I go to the website or ask you for the information.
I know, but it's a call for the executive branch is what I'm saying.
No, again, it's simple reporting.
But we're putting a constraint on prior to the awarding of a said contract.
Right.
I don't. He has the authority to execute the contract. He has the budget authority.
We just want to be told who got the bid.
And if that's the concern, I'm open to that, to making that change.
I just want to, sorry, Mr. Chairman, you call on the
go ahead, Dave, no problem.
I just want the committee to think about this. There's going to be, with that language in, there's four bottlenecks that we have to do anytime we do anything. We have to. First, we have to get the PO done.
We're wasting time. I just moved to strike it. Or
just notify the committee after the bid has been awarded.
The committee shall be notified of the successful bidder.
Right.
And again, following award of said contract and successful bidder.
There you go. Just change prior to following.
So
after.
We can just provide the bid tabulation to you after we've awarded the contract.
Sure. Right. So
the,
yeah, again, contract following, get rid of the prior.
Get his bonds, get his insurance, and that's not delayed.
Absolutely. If you're able to do it ahead of time, that would be fantastic.
Or the word after or following? And again.
And again, following.
Or after.
Following.
After the award.
Either way, after or following.
Whichever is better.
Following.
Because it's just reporting. That's how we're
it is.
Frank, strike the word prior to. Words prior to it. And insert
the diet, not diet stuff.
That's what you want me to delete?
Yep. Delete that. And again, and following.
Following the award.
The award, so strike S at the end of award.
What's that contract? Just successful there.
Any other question?
No.
No.
Motion made by Clark, seconded by Noble. All those in favor of the amendment, CO 1.08, approval required, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion carries. We're now on 111. So far, this has not been an informal motion. We can come back and do it once we get through. We have stricken the word or. Planning Board Finance
and oversight committee, period. We're now on to the second paragraph, which starts with the exception of highway contracts.
Is there something in this first paragraph that you just said?
Yes.
Yes, wait, board, just board. Wait. We'll come back to that, Frank. All right. Anyone on this issue? I guess we can. I'm open to talking about the broader issue or getting into specific changes to this language.
Just on the broader issue, this really focuses on how we handle change orders, and there's a materiality level set relative to contracts that are over $500,000 that change order reporting is required. And they've set the threshold at the lesser of 15% of the overall contract value or $100,000. So if you have a major project and the change order is $100,000, it's got to come back to the committee. The one problem that I have with this, I mean, number one, we're going to strike any reference to input to reporting. But the to meet within 48 hours, if you report on Friday, we're not meeting on Sunday, I think that needs to be changed to business two business days rather than 48 hours. Those are my comments.
What did you mean? This one does say input.
He wants to strike that. Don't change anything yet.
Don't change anything.
I thought that's what we said when we started on this.
What?
About for purposes of input, we.
No, that was only a 0.08.
That was on 08.
No, I thought it was 111 too, but I could be wrong. Okay.
No. It was 111. That's right here.
No.
I want to get through it. I'll mark it up. We'll come back to it with a motion, and then we'll address it up on the screen. All right, so the second paragraph, first one we've addressed, we've stricken a couple things. The second paragraph, with exception of the highway, I'm adding and human services contracts. Authorized pursuant to Wisconsin statutes, et cetera, et cetera. Shall be reported to the appropriate county board oversight committee. And, not or, and the County Board of Finance and Administration Committee, period, striking for input. Now we need to clean up the sentence that starts, the committee shall be notified if time is of the essence with respect to providing input. The reason that has to be cleaned up is because there it says input.
Or
is on the change order. Now, the issue we have here is this clearly is being drafted, was drafted, and intended to be drafted by this committee to approve change orders that exceeded a certain amount. So you can't strike the input.
Right.
Somewhere you've got to have approval.
And that's why time is of the essence that we meet. That's why that's the purpose, and I think that's what we talked about Friday.
Substitute input with...
So, exactly, where I just struck for input, it should read
authorized
for approval or authorization. Let's go with approval for right now. It doesn't change, I don't think, what we had up in that first paragraph, but we'll go back to it. The committee shall be notified if time is of the essence with respect to providing approvals on the change order. In the event that the committee fails to meet within 2 business days, is that what we're looking for?
I think that's more appropriate.
On such notification, the change order may be authorized by the administration and immediately reported to the county board chairman, chairman of the finance and administration committee, and the chairman of the appropriate oversight committee. So what I'm saying there is, if time is of the essence, the committee can't react, the authorization is made, all you need to do is send an email to those three, to the three chairmen that are referenced here.
Last paragraph. Change orders recommended as necessary and urgent by the project architect, owner's representative, or contractor shall be authorized as needed by the administration and immediately reported to the county board chairman, chairman of the finance administration committee, and the chairman of the appropriate oversight committee. The project closeout report shall be provided to the oversight committee summarizing change orders and ultimates. I have no changes to that last paragraph.
Motion to approve.
Second. All right. Motion by Clark, seconded by Brunig. Let me go back through this so that we're clear. In the first paragraph, because this is prior to such award, I'm reading the second sentence of the first paragraph. Prior to any such award, a statutorily defined public works project in excess of $250,000 per proposed alternate shall be reported to the County Board Finance and Oversight Committee, period. So we're not looking for an approval there. We're looking for the scope. Hold on, Dave. We're looking for the scope of the project to be approved by the Oversight Committee, which is what Ray has committed this evening. They do anyways.
Right, so is this in 111, though, or is this...
It's 111. This is 111. Yeah.
This is for change orders and alternates.
But isn't alternate defined as part of the RFP, and any reference to alternates here should be out of this?
Yeah.
And we're just talking about change orders?
Kind of alternates are here and change orders, because they're two separate animals in my mind.
Yeah, I almost think that you're striking that whole first paragraph.
Yeah.
If it's dealing with
the
alternatives.
As we addressed it, you're saying in 108?
Yeah.
So 111 should just be labeled change orders and get rid of the and alternates.
Just eliminate that whole thing.
Hold on. Scroll up to 108, would you, Frank? Please. We don't reference alternates in here at all.
No.
But there's a definition of alternates. Is
prior to the bid, yeah. These are part of the bid.
Single out alternates because you're looking at everything, not just alternates when you're looking at the RFP.
It's just like this. This is how it's packed. This is what the actual one for the golf course that we just did the irrigation.
I guess here's where I can be comfortable with striking that. If we're suggesting that the scope of the RFP or construction project come to committee, and we're requiring that the award come to committee, obviously there's going to be discussion on the scope. So if the administration is hopeful that it's going to be in the project and want to bid it as an alternate, that's fine. If not, they're taking the risk that it's going to be a change order, and then it comes back in this policy.
This is broader, and it covers everything in the RFP, and you're not just singling out one item, so it's probably better.
In 116, the definition, it talks about add alternates are bid concurrently with the base bid and submitted on the same bid form as part of the definition.
116, that is?
Yep. And the definitions.
All right, this needs to be, since you're there, this should be add/deductive, right?
Mm-hmm.
It references deductive alternates.
Add/deduct alternate.
Alternate. Just get rid of add. It should be alternate bids.
Add the word alternate.
Yeah. Alternate bids. Brad, go to 116. We can push that.
So you on 116.
Yeah.
116.
Yeah.
He wants to get rid of the word add alternates.
Right. Strike the word add.
Right here?
Yep. Yeah.
All right, now go back to 111, please. Are we in agreement we're striking that first paragraph?
I would...
Does anyone oppose...
Amend my... Yeah.
Does anyone want to keep that first paragraph?
No.
All
right, Frank, go ahead and strike that entire first paragraph.
Okay.
Once it's gone, it's gone.
I know. We got youth and governance here.
We got a typist.
Yeah, I'll type it for you.
Then we're going to get rid of and alternatives.
Yeah.
Why didn't you change it two spots?
Wait a second. The yellow is what
Okay.
You just got handed out. The other one was
go, go back up to the, go back up to the 111 caption. Right there, stop.
The title.
Get rid of alternates. Should just say change orders, please.
Now, this other paragraph is what you got was emailed to you a couple days ago. I take it that
a couple hours ago.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or yesterday, I'm sorry. And yeah. This paragraph here is what was
this,
changed.
This is going to be the new 111?
Right. So, okay to erase this then, do you think?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Cook them with gas.
Then get rid of that. You got two 111s now. You got
yep.
Word perfect is something. It's quite a program.
Yes, it is.
If they didn't do it, it's
I don't know. Born before you, but it's going to last a lot.
Damn near perfect.
Rick, did they get the heat fixed down in your offices?
It's out for bid.
Were you aware of that?
Oh, no, it's just come up a couple times.
By the way, I've got to ask. We're not talking about moving us again, are you?
No, but we're gonna ask for some input.
We're not talking about it, but we're thinking about it.
I've heard a few different stories.
What, do we chase Bernie out here?
Bernie wasn't feeling well, so he's
in. All right, let's get back to this. I know Kim has to leave as well. All right, so now we're on the second paragraph. Here's what I have for the second paragraph. With the exception of
scroll down.
Highway and Human Services. So you want to add in there highway, after highway, you want to add and Human Services contracts.
Right here?
Yep.
And Human Services.
Actually, that... and Human Services goes after the Wisconsin statutes. The Wisconsin statutes talk about highway contracts.
All right.
Go to Human Services contracts.
Okay. Go to line 26, Frank.
Exactly.
County Board Oversight Committee.
And the County Board
Functions. Yeah, instead of or, it should be and.
Line 26. That should be and.
And slash or?
Mm-hmm. No,
or just
no,
or.
And.
Just and. And.
So are we saying that it needs to go to both committees or should be and slash or?
Let me just make sure, Joe.
Correct, Chairman. Committees to approve.
No, I think it should go to the Oversight Committee.
All right. Oversight.
No, if you don't want both committees.
Just the Oversight. Because you got time there.
Appropriate. County Board Oversight Committee from take out Finance and Administration.
Yep.
For
input.
Strike input and put approval.
That's worse.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But it's a material item. That 500,000 should also have that indexing.
Yeah. Same thing with 100,000.
See if he's got it on his computer.
Reindex to 15%. Index to what was the date?
January 1, 2012. CPI-U, I guess they called it.
CPI-U.
All right. Let's see here. All right, go to line 28, Frank. Where it says input. Strike input and put approval. Wait, hold on. Oversight Committee for approval. The committee shall be notified as times as it expects providing approval. All right, you're on line 28. This doesn't read it.
I'm going to put this in the way you want it, but just so that you know, our opinions have always been to the contrary. And I don't want to surprise anybody somewhere on the county board floor.
What are you contrary for?
So your opinion, your contrary opinion is that if we have a contract with someone, the county executive or the administration is authorized to overspend that contract.
As long as it's within the budget.
See, and that's my point. We set our budgets intentionally to protect against that. I'm not inclined. I won't go for that. I recognize your opinion, Frank.
Okay. I just don't want to,
you know.
And that's fine. I'll type it up any way you want it, present it to the board any way you want it. I just don't want to surprise anybody somewhere down the road if anybody asks me, you know, what about this opinion you wrote back in 1985 or whatever.
Joe?
If it's in the budget document, I mean, you could put anything in the budget resolution that
right.
gives the county board this authority.
I think in the budget resolution you can set some parameters.
Yes.
I think you could have a general policy that sets some parameters.
So if that's an issue, perhaps that might be a little note for your budget file next year.
I don't follow you.
Well, you have a policy resolution with the budget. The budget gives authority to do certain things. The budget can also limit.
Sure.
Limit that amount to the bid plus or whatever. I mean, you can limit in the budget as much as grant authority. I mean, we're dealing with the purse strings, or we're dealing with the savings right. in the yeah. statement of
there's
the county.
There's no question the board has authority and with respect to the purse strings and setting the budget amount. I'm not debating any of that. But the opinions have been in the past is that once that contract lands in the administration hands, it is to carry out the policy of the board. And if that means to take authorized change orders, there's different kinds of change orders. There's change orders that are, and I talk about this a little bit later on, those that come from the architect or those that come from a subcontractor. He's looking at the shop drawings and he says, oh, I got to make this change in the plumbing. We got to run this pipe over here instead of over there. There's going to be an extra cost. All of those things are within the purview of the executive to carry out your policy or within the scope of your project. And they shouldn't have to come to the board for that kind of approval. That's what we've always said. So I just want to be clear on that. Try this and if you need to talk with the exec, maybe there's some further tweaking that needs to be done. I don't know. I just want to be upfront with that.
Okay. So again, you are on.
Okay.
I just changed the input to approval somewhere on here, and then there was another one. And this is where I changed it to approval. Now, the committee should be notified if time is of the essence. With respect to providing input,
with respect, change that to approval.
Providing approval.
With respect to providing approval on all change orders. Change the 48 hours in the next line to 2 business days.
Business days, take out hours.
And I believe that's all you have.
Now, do you want the chairman of the finance administration and the appropriate oversight? Do you still want those in there?
Yes.
Or you want just the oversight?
No. I have no problem with sending email. Anyone else want to comment on that?
It's easy enough to send an email to the oversight and chairman and the finance.
I'm not telling you how to do it. You can report it to the chairman of the oversight committee. He can report to the other two. I just think it ought to be out there.
Then this last paragraph?
It's fine.
That's okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are we done?
Yep.
There's a motion by Clark, seconded by Bruhig. The 1.11 change orders as amended. Anyone else on the discussion?
Yeah.
Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The governor's votes aye. Anyone opposed? Motion carries. See how simple that is?
No, 8 years ago
to work like that.
Still only six are still.
Now we have the Frank.
Yep.
And I guess this is an open question of the committee as well. We can vote on this document as amended.
Yes.
With a.
I'll save it.
Resolution. No, it's going to be.
Can we do the resolution?
I got a resolution.
You do?
Yeah.
All right.
We're on top.
She's on top of it.
Or we didn't want to. We can meet before the county board meeting, but if you're comfortable, I'll do it right now.
You can sign the resolution right now, and then I'll attach the. I'll print this up. It'll be in the packets Friday.
And we'll read
just
it.
Six out of 105.
We'll read every word.
We'll read every word. I'm sure that
you're going to be in third place by three votes.
Just read it.
Roselle.
Anyone, I need a motion on the contracting policy as amended. Rudy,
so
second by Clark. Anyone on the question? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Governor votes aye. Anyone opposed? Motion carries. This will be on Tuesday's agenda for a first reading.
Yes.
Second reading following Tuesday, be referred back to committee then. And have. We'll let the next board call it.
I knew it.
What is it? What is this
one? You bet you.
It's on for first reading on Tuesday.
And then you refer it back to this committee?
Oh, God.
Mara.
No. That was no.
That was just a joke.
I just know I'll be chairman again. I'll be the one directing which committee it goes to.
Well, is there a meeting next? There is a meeting next Tuesday.
County Board.
Yes.
County Board, yes.
28th.
Oh, okay.
Bad headache.
They right,
shifted it from today to next week.
At 8:23, discussion and possible action on updated Kenosha County. Discussion and possible action on countywide cell phone ordinance. This is C. I trust that is.
I got a report from Joe Cardamone from our office. He's been in touch with Peter Barker's office. I have an email from earlier in the month. Was this put in your packets?
No.
It was
no.
Not. There was a prior email that I don't have, so I'm just going to read. What I have here. This was what I put into the drafter. This is from, again, Peter Barker's office on the handheld cell phone ban. It uses the same penalty structure as inattentive driving and texting while driving. We would like to grow on the texting while driving ban from the previous and to get a draft that would ban the use of a handheld cell phone while driving. Other states seem to go both ways on this, but for the initial draft, we would like to still allow a person to answer the phone for an incoming call.
Frank, I just interrupt. Carol, before you leave, Ray, yourself, Jim, Dave, I appreciate all of the effort, the discussion, the input, and I trust going forward we're going to be, we won't find it terribly taxing. I think we've got a good policy in place. I appreciate all of your input. Thank you.
Thank you.
We would still like to allow a person to answer the phone for an incoming call and to dial a phone number on the handheld device, but they would need to use a speakerphone function, Bluetooth, or other hands-free device to engage in that in their conversation. Keeping with my understanding of current inattentive driving law, it should also not be in the use of a GPS system that is in a handheld cell phone. It should also not be in the handheld use of a two-way ham radio. The penalty should be the same as texting while driving, inattentive driving. It's from Matt Eggerer, office of Peter Barker. In discussing this in the office with Joe, the consensus was that this was going to be a matter of statewide concern and it would be a statewide law. Not where you go into one county or another county, so it would be statewide.
How long do we have to wait for that?
Frank, didn't I read in the paper that the federal government is taking this up now, too?
Yes. There was something also that this, I think there was, this may be made part of the highway funding. You probably remember some years ago, they were trying to adjust the speed limits. If you wanted funding, you had to have speed limits at such and such a level.
I also heard that's generally dead at this point in time, so I don't know what to believe, what not to believe. Supervisor Clark, did you have something?
No.
Why that? My concern is, you know, if we wait for the state, we could be waiting until the lobbyists run out of money or someone truly decides they want to accomplish something. Obviously nothing we're going to wrap up here this evening. So I'll hold it over on the agenda, potentially, unless further there's further discussion tonight. All right. 8:27, discussion of possible updates on the ethics code. This was added to the agenda as a reminder that we want to address this issue. I don't know if you're prepared to bring something up.
I don't have anything to
hold that over as well. 6E, review of the municipal code of Kenosha County for possible updates.
Supervisor Clark asked me to send you a listing of all of the policies and ordinances that we currently have. I don't know if just everybody got it or just Supervisor Clark and yourself.
I don't recall.
I can run through them. Again, these are also on the web, on our website, our office website, that gives you access to them. In terms of the policy and rules manual, we already have a general provision section that could be looked at, and you could have some additional thoughts or ideas. Maybe you might want to take something out of there or add something. You'd have to change some of the language in there already. I can see it refers to the old policy and rules committee. Right now, so down by that type of cleanup would be necessary. Mm-hmm. It allows for one of the important things in that policy was to allow for emergency and temporary rules. The prototype for this policy and rules manual, or some of it anyway, was the Wisconsin Administrative Code. The idea was that there would be policies that would be set by the county board, just as you did tonight with contracting or claims, things of that sort. And it would be a one-stop shop for anything else, so that if a department, say for example, had their own set of rules, they would be codified and placed in here, and the same thing with executive orders,
mm-hmm.
Right, so that get to the meeting of things as soon as possible. But one of the things that was in here was to address the procedure for emergencies and temporary rules.
Keep going.
The claims policy, again, that's something that probably could be looked at, especially now since we have WMIC. I don't know that there is going to be a lot to change in there. We talked, for example, about certain time limits, confidentiality, getting releases. I don't see any changes in that. Settlement authorization, I don't believe there's been any change in the state law. Our office can settle claims under $500. The Finance Committee, I believe, can settle claims up to $5,000, and anything above that goes to the county board. There's two types of claims. The claims where the county is being sued, and then there are claims that the county is making against others. So all of these are looked at. There are some settlement guidelines, settlement schedules. Those are things you probably would want to look at and perhaps update. The claim processing and litigation, again, that talks about
different types of claims. Some of these I haven't seen in years. I think they go to WMIC if they still are filing. But, contracts, you just did that tonight. Data processing, we never did a policy on that. And that is something that you may want to look at. The buzzword these days is social networking. I have no idea what was all involved with that. I asked my daughter, but I don't know what Facebook is or Twitter or whatever.
Frank, what I think I want to do, and I'm pretty sure what Joe's intent was to prioritize and maybe tackle a policy at a time that was deemed in need of review and updating potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to get into that tonight. I want to hold that over. We're
okay.
Obviously losing a little bit of focus here, which is understandable. Kim has to get moving here, and I want to get on a item.
What are you looking for? Him to make a recommendation on what the priorities are?
Exactly. Yeah. So what I'd like you to do is at the next committee meeting, and let's see, we talked about, you just sent me, maybe I'm thinking of that document, the policy that we wanted to address. The ethics, I think we should review, as well as there's one other one I thought, but if you can come back with it.
The ethics is just that one section, one or two sections.
Right, which you think is a priority that this committee ought to address. I'd like you to come back with that. And I don't, you know, it could be a priority going forward. If you're going to address it, here's policy 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever you want to do.
Okay, no problem.
All right, at 8:33, we are on to 6. I'm going to take this out of order here quickly. Well, 6F, which is update regarding online publication, public notices. Again, I'm going to defer that for right now. 6G. An ordinance to amend section 8.025C and D, special event licenses. There's an ordinance in your packet. What's behind this is this Club Climax that we've heard more or over and over again on the county board floor. This is clearly an establishment of business that opened under the wrong scenario. Town approved a liquor license for them. They open for business, only for the county to find out after the fact that they don't meet a number of zoning requirements, so they should never have been given the occupancy at the time to compliance. To make matters worse, they had then been operating with nothing but trouble with the neighborhood, whether it was founded or unfounded. And then ultimately they came in to the clerk's office and asked for a special event cabaret, which was immediately issued to them, and my contention is it never should have been issued, because if they're not in compliance with zoning ordinance for a permanent, why would we give them temporaries once a month, which they're allowed to do? So what's before you is a change to the current ordinance. There is no change in this, is there?
I think this is the ordinance. Yes, I made some change.
It's probably not showing up on there.
So. Oh, no, it is. The change is the application shall be made at least 2 business days prior to the event and shall be forwarded to the Sheriff's Department and the Department of Planning and Development to determine if the premises are in compliance with local ordinances. So we're adding that piece that requires advance notice and then allows the clerk, provides the clerk the opportunity to contact the Sheriff's Department, check on conformance and violations, as well as planning and development. The only suggestion I would have, and this language is my recommendation, I'm going to change it to 3 business days, unless there's a concern here with the committee. It would strike me as strange if any establishment is planning an event without, you know, sufficient notice, and I would suspect 3 days is certainly adequate. Motion moved by Brunig.
Second
by Clark to amend 2 business days to 3. Anything else on that issue?
No. I don't think so.
we can put that in the packet, but it won't have your signatures on it.
I'll get it signed. Put it in the packet. I'll have it signed. Make sure it's signed by the committee before the meeting, and I'll report on the board before
okay, I send it to the clerk.
So then I need a motion on the ordinance. Is it numbered here?
No.
Not yet.
Motion on the ordinance as amended. Moved by Gruding, second by Noble. All those, any question? All those in favor of the ordinance as amended signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Motion carries.
Focus.
I am focused.
Yeah, but not yours.
All right, 837. Okay,
thank you.
Update on casino matters, response to BIA notice H, 78 or 6H, 837. Frank, Andy?
That should be in your packet. There was a letter that was drafted by Bauer, who's our DC attorney. Even though the time for filing a response to the request for input has passed, he recommended that this be done. I believe that there's some additional information that he can put forth. I haven't gotten that yet, but it backs up what's in the letter. You should have a copy of that letter in your packet. And the motion would be to instruct Mr. Bauer to forward that letter and to supplement it in a manner that's consistent with what's in that, so that it doesn't have to come back, unless you want it to come back to the board. But it's our, the time has passed, and I would recommend getting it up there as soon as possible.
Who signs the letter?
This could be signed by the county executive, maybe the county board chair.
It is in the front. See, because it says very truly yours, it doesn't say who's signing it.
Yeah.
So, I'll make that motion with the both board. County board chair and the county executive signing.
Yes. Now, this I was not planning on sending to the board.
I'm not convinced it needs to go to the board.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll second the motion. All right, moved and seconded to have the draft letter finalized with some additional comments as our outside counsel sees fit, and we will add the signature of the county executive and the county board chairman and forward this to the BIA. Any discussion on the issue? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. At 8:39, we are on to 7, which is closed session. Frank, do we have reason to go into closed session?
I can give you an update on a couple of things.
Closed session? Huh? Do you want closed session to turn this off?
Yeah, why don't you turn it off?
Motion going to closed session.
Second.
Moved by Clark to go into closed session. Second by Vice Chairman. Any other business allowed by law?
I think a motion to adjourn.
If not, second. Motion to adjourn by Elverman. Second by Clark. We'll get Michael in front of a TV screen. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries.
You can bring it up on the county website right up here.